I think we have now come to the fifth chapter. And the fifth chapter is related to one word which is used towards the end of the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter, verse number 41. It is that verse which takes you to chapter number 5. There is a link between chapter 4, verse number 41, on page 213. Where Shri Krishna says, Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam atmavantam na karmani nibhattanti tananjaya. The important word is sanyasta karmanam. And it is preceded by the word yoga. Yoga means karma yoga. Karma yoga in which karmanam sanyasta, in which action is renounced. And when you have knowledge by which all the doubts are cut asunder, and when you become established in yourself, atmavantam, then, O Arjuna, Dhananjaya, na karmani nibhatnanti, then the actions do not bind you. So repeat. By practice of karma yoga, when all action is renounced, and by power of knowledge, all the doubts are cut asunder, and when you become seated in your own self, then no actions bind you. This is the verse. Now, this has also a connection with second chapter. If you open second chapter and verse number 39, now this verse we had referred to earlier also. The significance of this verse is that Shri Krishna tells Arjuna that there is a method by which the buddhi, intelligence, by concentration can be fixed on knowledge, and as a result of that, liberation can be obtained. But there is also another way where intelligence can be so concentrated that even while doing actions, you still attain to liberation. Now, this promise that Shri Krishna has given is fulfilled in this chapter number 4, verse number 41. After all that is contained here between these two verses, and this is the conclusion where he says, yoga sanyasta karmanam, when even while doing action, the yoga, you do karma yoga by which action gets renounced, you get liberated. Even while doing action, you still get liberated from karma. You become free from action. And then even when karmas are done, they do not bind you. So you might say that there is a connection between this verse and this verse. That is the promise and this is the conclusion. And all that is said in between is the exposition of that secret by which even while doing actions, you can be free. Now, in this exposition, the most important part of the exposition is the totality of the third chapter. If you ask a question as to what is the most important part of the Bhagavad Gita, fundamentally, all that Sri Krishna wanted to teach, basically, is said essentially in the third chapter. Because after expounding it, when you come to the fourth chapter, Sri Krishna himself tells Arjuna that this is the wisdom, this is the knowledge which I had given to Vivaswan, who gave it to Manu, who gave it to Ikshvaku, and then it got lost. That means that all that he wanted to say, the basic knowledge, is contained in the third chapter. Because the third chapter tells you how action, even when it is performed, you can still become free. And the most important message of the third chapter is the idea of sacrifice. It is the knowledge of sacrifice, exposition that the whole world is nothing but sacrifice, and whether you know sacrifice or not, even if you do not know sacrifice, you will be obliged to do sacrifice. There is an obligation because the whole world is nothing but a sacrifice. So if you do it willingly, you can apply the knowledge and therefore a greater result, which comes to you when you apply knowledge rightly. The difference between yoga and that which is not yoga is only this, that even one who is not a yogi, he is obliged to do yoga. It is because he is part of the universe, he cannot escape it. He is obliged to do it, he is obliged to sacrifice. Whereas a yogi is one who knows it and willingly participates in it. And when you do it willingly, then you get one special result. When you are conscious, the result will be, first of all, a quicker result. The siddhi that is to come will be quicker. And being conscious, you will have a mastery over the whole process and you will not deviate. So the most important teaching of the Bhagavad Gita is, you might say, the law of sacrifice. What Sri Krishna wants to tell Arjuna is that whatever arguments you are putting forward, these arguments do not take into account the idea of sacrifice. You are speaking of renunciation, you are speaking of anything, but you do not know what the law of sacrifice is. And if you know the law of the sacrifice, then you will be free even while doing action. Today you feel grieved, full of grief, because you do not know the law of sacrifice. And what is the law of sacrifice? In one word, it is the recognition that the first sacrificer is the Lord Himself. It is the Lord giving Himself, and by His giving the whole world comes into existence. The world is nothing but bringing out the stuff of God Himself and putting it forth. Therefore, the law of sacrifice for the world is to return that movement to God. And God again returns it into the world, and world again goes back to the Lord. This is the cycle, and if you know this cycle very well, then there is no problem which you cannot resolve. This is the basic teaching of the third chapter. The fourth chapter is only a further elucidation, in which the culmination of this sacrifice is given, namely divine birth and divine action, the nature of it. And towards the end of this chapter, Sri Krishna says that now, when by doing karma yoga, you become free from action, you are able to renounce action, so that even while doing action, you renounce action. And then the action does not bind you. This is the end of his promise, when he said, I will now teach you that even while doing action, you can be free. So in the fourth chapter towards the end, this promise is fulfilled. Now when this promise is fulfilled, then this word, yoga sannyasta karmanam, particularly the word sannyasta karmanam, it creates a confusion in the mind of Arjuna. And the fifth chapter starts with this statement of the confusion. The word sannyasta karmanam creates a confusion. So let us read the first sentence of the fifth chapter.